Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. May we always dwell on this land with respect and peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, whose word has come among us in the Holy Child of Bethlehem, may the light of faith illumine our hearts and shine in our words and deeds. Through him who is Christ our Lord and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Comme il sont le bienvenu au sommet de montagne, les pas de messagers que nous mettons à la côté de la paix, qui porte un message de bonté, qui nous met à la côte du salut, qui dit à Sion, dont Dieu règne. Voix de tes guetteurs, ils élèvent les voix ensemble. Il pousse une acclamation car, les yeux dans les yeux, il voit le Seigneur en train de les gagner Sion. Explosez, poussez des acclamations tout ensemble, dévastations de Jérusalem, car le Seigneur les comforte, son peuple et rachète Jérusalem. Le Seigneur met à nu sous les yeux de toutes les nations, les bourrins déployant sa sainteté, et tous les confins de la terre verront la salut de notre Dieu. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak you roll them up, and like clothing they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. may God be with you.
And also with you. The
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of Christ. May we receive God's love and share it more and more. Amen. I'm going to talk about God's love from the starting premise that Christmas is about the God of love coming to us to show us how to love. That's what we out of our experience and journey of faith have come to believe about Jesus the Christ. I'm going to do this in stories that set up a time for you to choose carols to sing. And so be ready, the carols are all between about 90 and 140 in the hymn book. And when we come to this time, I'll look to Nick for guidance in how many verses we're going to sing, because if we do just a couple verses of each one, we'll have more opportunities for the words to come back to us. And I'm going to encourage you also that any hymn that has the word love in it gets a free pass, so it doesn't have to come from the Christmas section. One of my earliest childhood memories of school was when I was transferred to a new school in grade 3, a school called Toniata in Brockville. And in this school, of course, I was in a new class and there were children I had never met before, and we were seated in table groups. This was the education philosophy that was new at the time, that we would sit in table groups. And in our table group, these children that I did not yet know were talking about a new show on TV called All in the Family. And so because I was hearing about this show, you know, you go home and you tell your, you're asked at the dinner table, how was school, and you talk about what's new. And so, of course, we started watching this show, All in the Family. And I don't have a lot of memories of all of the episodes. What I remember is opinionated right-wing Archie Bunker sitting in his chair and saying obnoxious things to his son-in-law, Mike, who he referred to as Meathead. How many of you know this show? Okay, a few. Good, good. So this has come into the news because one of the characters in that show, actually Meathead, Mike, was brutally murdered just recently. He and his wife were killed by their son, who had mental health issues and drug addiction. And so, you know, a really troubling experience that you can only imagine the journey of that family that this happened. And so, of course, because everyone remembers shows like All in the Family, there has been a retrospective about him because he was also a great movie director. He starred in this show and he moved on to become a director of movies, and among them would be other ones you might know. So this show actually did theology in primetime television. And the way comedy shows were formed at that time, there would be canned laughter that would come in for, you know, the lighthearted parts. But there were serious conversations too. And there's a show that I just saw that I do not remember from my childhood. I think maybe it just went over my head. In this show, Edith, Archie's wife Edith, has a gay friend. Now, in the language of the time, I think they would have referred to him as a female impersonator. And he's tall and, you know, clearly looked like a man in woman's dress. And probably in our time, we wouldn't call him that at all. We would say that he was trans, male to female. And they refer to him in the show as he, but we would probably say they, them. And Edith has this good friend, and it's the most unlikely thing because you see her as this frumpy housewife married to this opinionated right-wing guy, and she is friends with this over-the-top, beautiful person. And in this show, her friend Beverly is brutally murdered. We don't see that in the show, of course. The show all takes place in the living room, in the kitchen. But Edith is absolutely distraught in the Christmas episode of this show. So very timely that, you know, now this is an episode that is out there and people are watching it again. And she is completely broken with this loss. She's not at the dinner table. She's hiding in the kitchen. And Mike, so Rob Reiner, comes to talk to her. And she says she's so angry, and he asks, who could she be angry with? And she says she's mad at God. Now, this is probably something, if you have walked the path of faith, you've heard this from people, that there is a tragedy and they become mad at God, not because God did it, but because God didn't stop it from happening. It's very common for people to feel that kind of anger and need a place for it, and, you know, God is big enough for it, and that's where it goes. People are angry with God. So she blames God, and her son-in-law does theology in primetime television, and this is what he does. He says, you know, maybe we're not supposed to understand everything all at once. Maybe we only get to understand it a little bit at a time. And that is a great Christmas message about the early followers of Jesus coming to understand who they believed he was. So the way that Mike came at this with Edith was he said, did you ever have a class in school where you didn't understand what the course was about? And she said, algebra. I hated algebra. And the canned laughter comes in, and Mike says, so did you quit school because you hated algebra? And she says, no. And he said, well, you can't quit life. because you don't understand this. And then he says, if there is a God, you're one of the most understanding beings God has created. It's really beautiful, really a beautiful story of love. So love is not mentioned in our gospel reading of today, but it's all over John's gospel. We're used to the Christmas story being Luke and the shepherds and the angels, and today what we get is a picture standing back and saying, what does it all mean? And John's gospel says that Jesus was in the beginning with God and came among us as light and life. Now, this is not the stereotype Christmas reading, and there are people who read the New Testament who accuse and say, well, you know, John's actually just a later work. It's kind of a fictional reconstruction. It comes from around the year 100, so it's not oral history. It's people writing out after the fact what they think it all means. But I've been now reading something that says differently. So there's a book called The Riddles of the Fourth Gospel, An Introduction to the Gospel of John, by Paul Anderson of George Fox University, and he is a professor of Biblical and Quaker Studies. So, you know, Christians of all spectrums, we read each other's stuff. I'm reading Paul Anderson, and he says the Gospel of John is a riddle because it has some of the oldest material about who Jesus was and some of the latest, side by side. So in our reading, the thought that John would point to Jesus is one of the earliest oral history pieces about Jesus at all. But the idea that he is the Word of God from before everything is probably among the latest. It is a reflective conclusion based on that early story. And what this author loves about the Gospel of John is all these layers of earlier and later materials are kept right in front of you, side by side, almost as if you can be in dialogue with all kinds of sources all at once, and they can be right in front of you. We're not just going to tell one story. It's unapologetically a way of getting you to think about your own conclusions. So I have another story from my school years about how there are layers to things. When I was in grade 7, I cheated on a math test. Now, maybe you've cheated on tests too, but this happened in an innocent way. The question was really hard. And the person, Valerie, sitting across from me in this table group, could not figure it out. So I was writing down my steps, and she was looking at me because she thought I could feed her information. And so I wrote down an answer which was wrong. I thought it was right, but it turned out it was wrong. And she just wrote down the same answer. She didn't have any steps. She just had the number at the end. And of course, the teacher confronted us, and because there was no way she could have that same number without one of us having collaborated with the other. So we both got detention, but I got half of the marks because I showed my work, and Valerie got 0. And we were never friends again after that. And, you know, this is bad. Like, the teacher should have been harder on me. I should not have got those points. But the idea of showing your work in chemistry, in all the sciences, in math, on a test, you show your steps. And even if you get the wrong answer, the steps are what's important. And John's gospel does this great honest thing of showing us the steps of, well, here's what they first thought, and here's the final conclusion they came to of who Jesus really was. So coming back to Rob Reiner, as I said, he went on to be a director of great movies. He was the director of the movie The Princess Bride. Does anyone know the movie The Princess Bride? Okay, I can quote many, many lines. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. The beautiful thing in this this story, to give it a setup, it's a grandfather visiting his grandson who has the flu, and he wants to read his grandson a story. And it's a story about princes and princesses, and in it, the young romantic male lead, he says, as you wish, when she bosses him around. He says, as you wish. And she discovers that every time he's saying, as you wish, he's saying, I love you. And it's a swashbuckling story that's part humor and part serious, and you can't tell which it is in any moment. And then, and this grandson, he is hooked on his primitive version of video games, because, you know, it's an old movie, he gradually gets pulled into this story, where initially he says, are they kissing? Skip that part. And by the end, you know, there's this romantic kiss at the end of a love story, and he says, the grandfather says, we'll just skip to the end now. He said, no, I think you can read it. And then at the end of the movie, the grandson says, you could come back and read that story to me again tomorrow. And the grandfather says, as you wish. So Rob Reiner gave us that. And I think I can hook it back into Luke's gospel where the angel comes to Mary and says, you're to be the mother of this child who is the Son of God. And what does she say? As you wish, let it be according to your word. Christmas is a story about love. It's a story about the love of God for us, shown to us so that we can be more loving.
Thank you.
145. It's kind of a story that doesn't make sense unless you do the whole thing, right? And there are, traditionally, the page is sung by the female voices, and the male voices sing the king, and everyone sings the narrator. So let's give that a try. That covered the earth has given way to the bright dawn of your word made flesh. Make us a people of this light. Make us faithful to your word, that we may bring your life to the waiting world as we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, our Savior. We turn with confidence to God, praying that the peace and light which Christ brings will be welcomed into the world. As you came to us in love as the Christ child in Bethlehem, so we come to you with love and concern for the world. I invite you to respond to each intercession by saying, "Hear our prayer." We pray for the church, that the people of God will always be a light to the world for those who live in darkness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For peace on earth, that the peace of Christ which offers will be a reality for all peoples. We remember especially our brothers and sisters in the land of the Holy One. We pray for peace and justice throughout that region. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for all nations and races. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the church, remembering Shane, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, and all who minister at St. John's. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to elect a new bishop, for those discerning a call to let their name stand, for the candidates, for members of synod, and for our diocesan administrator, Bishop Michael Byrd. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For our community, that our celebration of the birth of our Savior will make us more aware of our unity in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the lonely, the bereaved, the sick, and all those who are suffering in any way, that the light of Christ will shine on them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
This Christmas we pray for our beloved departed, asking God to hold them in his eternal light and peace, while granting us strength, comfort, and hope to carry their love forward, remembering their joy and the love that transcends time, filling the empty spaces with cherished memories and presence, even as we feel their absence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Jesus, by being born one of us and lying humbly in a manger, you show how much God loves the world. Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts until we reach our home in heaven and see you on your throne of glory. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be your children, and the Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
To God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Et que la paix de Dieu, qui surpasse toute intelligence, garde vos cœurs et vos esprits dans la connaissance et l'amour de Dieu et de son Fils Jésus-Christ, notre Sauveur. Et la bénédiction de Dieu Tout-Puissant, Père, Fils et Saint-Esprit, descende sur vous, demeure parmi vous et y demeure à jamais. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.